that lass on Radio 4 who's sort of Charlotte Green? She's got nothing on me.
Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? You don't want to go into this.
What would you be shouting at the television screen, Ian Lennox?
I can't proofread that.
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better. So
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a panic of pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or Seven Simple Seasons.
See what we did there?
Yes, like it.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.
Well, who'd have thought it, eh? Here we are, approaching March, end of February, and Middlesbrough have 6 points more than Liverpool. Hooray! Which is good news on that basis. It's all relative, Rob Nichols, as we come along to the next edition of Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast, clearly, in which we'll be looking back and looking forward and seeing why is it that Borough seem to be deliberately getting close to tantalisingly getting into the playoffs and then say, oh, what the hey, we can't be bothered after all.
Yeah, it is all relative. I wish we were in the same league as Liverpool, but we're plugging away, aren't we? And if we look back to the summer, things are a whole lot rosier than they were in the summer for Middlesbrough, and maybe for everyone as well, or for a lot of people.
Well, that would be the case. I mean, certainly it does look highly likely that fans will be returning to see the latter stages of the season at this particular stage. So,
well, the Premier, they won't be in for the, I think it's the 17th of May, isn't it? But I believe as we are speaking, Alex, I think the Middlesbrough Football Club are maybe putting out some sort of message about a statement for the future. And so we look forward to that. I think after the Prime Minister's announcement on Monday, then football clubs can now have got a better picture of where they stand. But I think what we're talking about really is for the championship is next season. But it's good to know that we can look positively and think that there's every chance that we might be able to actually watch football again.
Well, again, interesting times all round. And as we look at the table now, there was a moment where I actually did think, Rob, that maybe it's perhaps the podcast curse was about to strike our friends from Brentford, because they almost went into freefall in many ways. Yes. They kind of addressed various other things. Looking at it, it would seem that the top four might, because anything could change, might be in that capacity, as far as Borough are concerned, of being over the hills and far away, with Swansea City actually in fourth position, 13 points ahead of Middlesbrough, and obviously Brentford and Watford with 60 points just ahead of that, and Norwich City probably likely to return, I would have thought, with 67 points. But it gets really interesting in our particular segment, because now that obviously Bournemouth have decided we can't be bothered with Thierry Henry, let's just go into free fall and keep Jonathan Woodgate until the end of the season. They've probably actually, again, ultimate schoolboy error. If they'd only not appointed him until the end of the season and just kept him on a game-by-game basis, probably would have done very well. But as it stands, they've started the losing streak. And then you have the interesting pack, of course. Before we talk about the visitors to the Riverside tomorrow, before we talk about those bluebirds over the white, etc. I won't go into that, because let's face it, you know, it didn't really help with my Copacabana song for Niskin's Cabano, did it, really?
You tried your best.
Tried but failed. Really, the top 12. I mean, let's not negate Nigel Pearson sitting in the stands, of course, on Tuesday night before he takes over, and suddenly with 42 points, 32 games, they could well be conceivably in the mix. So you literally from Bournemouth, Barnsley, Borough, Stoke City, Millwall, Barnsley. Interesting. I mean, and Barnsley, of course.
It's a funny thing, isn't it, Alex? It's a funny thing that how many teams go. Momentum is so important, of course. But in the Championship, we were talking to Dave Lane from Be Sotted. And remember, Brentford went on that incredible 21 game run, unbeaten run, only to fall off a cliff and lose three in a row. And so many teams are putting together either groups of wins or they, it's suddenly when they defeated, you mentioned Bournemouth, and you wonder whether they will now go on a slide again. It seems to be the way it goes, and I wonder if that's to do with the financial fair play works much better at the Championship at that level than it does in the Premier League, and it evens clubs out in a way, unfortunately spoiled by the parachute payments from the teams that come down. But for the rest, I think it's one of the factors that it's not quite like the draft system in America, where, you know, where everyone everything is evened out at the start of a season. But it does mean that when a team loses an important player, that it they really suffer for it. That obviously that we were talking about Liverpool, and obviously it happens at Liverpool with Van Dijk. But championships have got much smaller squads, and in these COVID times, even smaller. So things can still happen, can't they, to any team, I think, because you can build a head of steam or you can just crash.
Well, that's so true. Clearly, one likes to feel that if you lose the calibre of players of Sergio Aguero and Kevin De Bruyne and Ilkay Gundogan, you can still actually keep going. Oh, yes, that's right. As Pep Guardiola said, all's well with that so far. So, you know, happily, quite contented at present in terms of momentum and moving on from that. However, Barnsley, particularly interesting because they have a game in hand, of course. They're 31 games as opposed to various 32, and most people's 32, apart from Swansea City, of course, who have two games in hand with 30 games played, which must be worrying to Brentford, I would have thought, given that Swansea just 1 point behind them with two games in hand. Given that, obviously, Brentford not really wanting to go into the playoffs, it looks as though they could be heading that way unless they change things drastically.
Yeah.
And of course,
two games in a week, it's a cliche, but with two games in a week or Saturday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, things change so quickly, don't they? Yeah. The picture can, it really does. And that's what we're saying, aren't we? Because if we'd done this podcast last Friday, we'd be talking in very different terms.
Again, beating Huddersfield, yes, but then it's bring on the huddles. Let's all gather together in the huddle after Reading. And all's well with the world. Warnock's Warriors are on the march. So clearly a wake-up call against Bristol City.
How many times have Bristol City done that to us over the years? I think they spoiled Tony Mowbray's first. I think it was his first game, but they've got an incredible record at the Riverside. It's an amazing thing. It doesn't matter who the manager is or whether they've got a manager. They always seem to catch us out. And in that first half, there was, say, like 15, 20-minute period where they were just absolutely cutting us to ribbons. And we started so confidently in that game. And I thought we finished pretty well, we were already, 3-0 down. We got the goal back, but we didn't. At that point, we needed Fletcher on the pitch. We were three goals down, as we say, and it was just getting another consolation if we could. But yes, for a 20-minute period in that first half, the game was completely theirs, and you wondered whether they were going to. They hadn't scored for four games, had they? Something like that. You wondered if they were going to rack up a really big score, and we saw that often in the summer, didn't we? Teams coming here, and not only beating us, but really slaughtering us. And Swansea were the first to do it, of course, and that cost Jonathan Woodgate's job. But Neil Warnock kept us up from with the away form. We never solved that home conundrum, and we need to think about that, don't we? We need to think about whether we need to keep it tighter at home, whether we're better for hitting teams on the break away from home. But we certainly lost a lot of really significant defeats at home.
Most of the sort of key players, like Dale Fry, of course, Sam Morsy, up front, Ashley Fletcher, plus, of course, new signings. It would seem that Borough are kind of in a reasonably strong position in terms of playing staff. Is Warnock sort of quite content? I mean, I think he was very happy, clearly, after Reading, a fantastic result, which, again, I don't think people were necessarily expecting. I thought originally probably looking for a draw would have been suitable against Reading. But without saying the wheels have come off, because clearly they haven't as yet, you've got a challenge now where, again, another one of potentially Borough's bogey teams might obviously be looking to do something, given, of course, that Mick McCarthy is now playing like Brazil, basically.
Yeah. Well, apart from McCarthy, the McCarthy factor obviously has been incredible for them. Bristol City had lost seven in a row coming to Middlesbrough, and Cardiff are the form team in the Championship, and McCarthy's done a real revival there. And it's interesting, this morning at the press conference, I thought Warnock was very much playing up Cardiff and talking up Mick McCarthy and his influence and, another old hand having a positive effect. It was almost it was almost like a couple of weeks ago when we were losing games and he was talking about writing off games until the end of February. He wasn't quite writing off tomorrow, but he was sort of saying that he was trying to say that we're very firmly the underdogs going into that game. And he's obviously disappointed that Ashley Fletcher, he was worried about playing Ashley Fletcher in midweek, Alex, because he thought I'm giving him a lot of football when he's been out for a long time. And unfortunately, he tweaked his hamstring again. So he's out for, we don't know, a couple of weeks anyway. And that's a real blow, because he was starting to have a bit of a partnership there, wasn't he, with Watmore. And we don't think there's anybody else really that can fill that role, because Chuba Akpom hasn't really done it, has he, in this season, for whatever reason.
He scored one goal.
He looks the shadow of the player that, at the start of the season. And Brittesson Belonga was handed the captaincy, but hasn't managed to fasten that place down. And again, hasn't scored the goals return. And maybe he isn't the target man. So I think Warnock was saying quite equivocally this morning that what we need to do in the summer is we need someone along lines of Kiefer Moore that Cardiff have got. Obviously, Warnock wanted him himself, but he's a Welsh international. Going to Cardiff, maybe getting paid more, etc. Being closer into the Welsh setup is always going to be like a plus for him. But that's what he wants. He thinks that we need to have a target man. But I wonder, when he's saying all this, Alex, whether we're getting an inkling of an idea that he might fancy sticking around to build around that target man.
Well, it certainly would be interesting. For the statisticians, the interesting news is, and the target really for Borough in the game against Cardiff, if Middlesbrough beat Cardiff 11-0, they will actually go above them on goal difference. So that's just, you know, that's just, a, just yeah. Bear in mind, it's only 11-0. That's the margin of victory they need to actually have. I mean, 12-1 would do, but they basically need an 11-goal margin to actually go above Cardiff on goal difference, as well as obviously...
Power of positive thinking. Is that what it is? Yes. Power of positive thinking.
It's something that's that. I mean, otherwise, we could conceivably be looking at a situation next season where we have Newcastle, Sunderland and Lincoln City in the Championship with Borough.
Wow.
Yeah. Exactly. That's unusual, but amazing, I think Fulham are looking at putting a run together, and who knows, maybe Steve Bruce might be finding challenging times will be coming up with him as well. There are still lots of things, I mean, lots of games to play for as well from that point of view. Looking at the other end of the table, not that we want to, but at least we can, because it's not going to affect Borough at all, unless, of course, the team start playing out of their skins. Like, of course, the last victory Rotherham United had, of course, Borough since then lost. Fine.
Yes.
You look at this, Birmingham looking a little bit sort of weak from that point of view. Sheffield Wednesday, I think that points deduction could be there. And, of course, Wigan Wanderers probably going 23 points at present. But again, there's that other clutch of clubs. It's almost as though you've got the classic three different leagues, because with Borough obviously on 40 points and the other teams we mentioned, then, of course, Nottingham Forest 16th, 39, right the way down to 29. Maybe the Forest probably safe, Derby probably safe. So it's Huddersfield, Coventry, Birmingham, Rotherham, Sheffield Wednesday, I should say, and Wigan Wanderers. Either way, I think it's fair to say that despite the COVID lack of crowds and all the other factors, an interesting and challenging league, shall we say. I mean, are you getting the feeling from Neil Warnock that actually he's enjoying it? Because, I mean, clearly that's probably crucial in terms of whether he wants to stick around, that he's still actually enjoying the whole process, even after the result against Bristol City, where clearly he didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, I think part of him, at least as well, would like to be a manager with the crowd. I think he would. It's the first time he's been at a club where he hasn't had the crowd behind him, literally. And I think he would. I think that's something that he would like to do. And it's interesting, Alex, because we're talking about the power of positive thinking and talking about crowds. And I went to a meeting, a virtual crowd, if you like, a couple of days ago, organised by the Football Supporters Association. And it comes under the umbrella hashtag Terrace Talk. And it's all about football fans coming together and missing the social event around the match. They're missing everyone's missing personal contact. And this is the start of a fan-led mental health drive, working with Mind and the EFL, and looking at different ways to help people. First of all, recognizing that lots of people are having mental health struggles, particularly presently with lockdown, and then trying through football fans to help other football fans, starting a conversation, listening, setting goals each day. I've just been climbing up my stairs. It might come across that I'm a bit exhausted because I have to do 88 ascents of my staircase every day, Alex, which is a staircase mountaineering, which is a challenge for MFC Foundation. And I've got 2 days left and then I get to the top of Kilimanjaro or Kilimanstero, could call it. And then I've finished that one. So that's the sort of thing that we're talking about, people sort of setting goals and making sure that they have some sort of routine. And so if you have a look at that hashtag, Terrace Talk with capital T's. But I think, again, Neil Warnock, I think he fancies, he part of him anyway, thinks he fancies the idea of managing with actual fans there, and the challenge of trying to fill, an old-fashioned manager's challenge of trying to fill the Riverside. And surely you would think next season that if fans are allowed back in big numbers, that stadia everywhere will be absolutely packed, because people will just, once they feel it's safe, they'll just really want to embrace actually doing things and meeting people again.
A lot will depend on whether we'll be talking about vaccination passports, whether we're talking about other bureaucracy, other things that could go on online with respect to that. I think there are a lot of strange things that are still going to be worked through yet. And clearly, perhaps a lot will also depend on what happens with the Euros. And after Gareth Southgate's men have been triumphant in the Euros, hopefully, we'll see what happens there.
That's very true. And I think what could be significant next season, Alex, is that clubs... We thought that a lot of clubs would struggle to survive this season, but what could be the case is that clubs will have no income next season because season ticket holders might be rolled over all over the country to next season, so they could have next to no income for that year, because it's, you know, so that could be a big challenge. And we might see those three divisions that you were talking about in the Championship, we might see them open up even further. And we can see already that the clubs do struggle getting, when they've got promoted, like Rotherham and Wickham, they really struggle to bridge that gap. You'd think that Lincoln might struggle if they went up, just from where they've come from. And then other clubs down there could be clubs that have been in financial difficulties or off the field problems. I'm thinking of Sheffield Wednesday with their points deduction and Derby that have only just surfaced from there recently, of course, had all sorts of off-the-field difficulties. So, I just think that it will be... Challenges will roll over to next season. But let's hope we can cut through the bureaucracy and everything else, and we are able to actually go and be part of it. And it'll be really good for everyone's mental health and to get back to football, won't it?
Although, obviously, a lot of Borough fans would say, of course we want promotion, etc. I'm just thinking, in terms of the erratic form, and I'll use the term erratic, might it be possible to actually use this as, and again, I quite dislike this phrase, a consolidatory Warnock season, with the aim to really have a full push on for next season, when indeed, as you said, Rob, if all being well, he sticks around, and the fans are back, and you've actually got players who've actually bedded down. Because if Borough did get promoted... surprises have occurred, of course, and look at Marcelo Bielsa and Leeds United, and indeed the first season of Sheffield United and Burnley. Clubs can obviously climb and actually stick, but it's probably likely that if Borough did actually go up, and it can really only be by the playoffs now, I think, if we're being realistic.
Yes.
If we end up by the playoffs, there might be a sort of line which suggests maybe not the right time. Just a thought. I'm just putting it out there.
No, absolutely. And if Neil Warnock did consider, and he did say that he wanted to stay for another season, and we can't press him at this point, but if he did, then then you were quite right. From where we came from when we this summer, when we looked as if we were going down, didn't we, when Neil Warnock came in. So it would definitely be a massive step forward. And if he stayed at the club, then and he gave us the building blocks, and he could build on it himself. And he's already talking about we need a big centre forward, etc., etc. I think he made some very good astute signings in January, and some of those players, if they choose to stay, that well they're going to help us consolidate this season. And Darnell Fisher was a really good permanent buy, wasn't he? So I think you're right, and we would be behind West Brom, wouldn't we? And West Brom have made no kind of they've not, even with two managers, they've never looked for a minute as if they're going to stop in the division. It's good to see Fulham putting up a fight now, because it didn't look like Fulham had a chance either. But even so, they're coming from a long way back, aren't they?
Absolutely. And Sheffield United, obviously, probably won't even actually see the joy of playing in the same division as Sheffield Wednesday. If Sheffield Wednesday go down, they'll still actually be in a division apart. But never mind. It's the quartet of cities, because obviously it's Cardiff City tomorrow, then, of course, away to Coventry City, away to Swansea City, and then home to Stoke City. So it's City all the way, or not, as the case may be. That is going to be a fairly critical run, I would have thought, in terms of how things are panning out. I mean, obviously, we've talked about Cardiff, talked about Mick McCarthy, etc. Coventry, they're one of the teams threatened with relegation. They probably will be putting up some kind of fight at St Andrews, because obviously, do you remember the days when Highfield Road used to be the Coventry City base, as opposed to the Reebok or the stadium, etc. That was there.
That's
was
right.
It the Reebok Arena? Highfield Road. Tommy Hutchison, Willie Carr, whole new world of players from that point of view, and Jimmy Hill, of course.
Ground. Yeah. Yes.
And then, of course, on Saturday, the 6th of March, so literally within the next week, it is away to Swansea City. And that is fairly critical in so many ways, really, depending on
well,
results, etc. Yeah.
That's a very difficult trip to the Liberty Stadium. Mm. I always stay away there, because it's an awful long way to go as well. But we've got four difficult cities. We're in the midst of all these city games. We need some points from them. And it's a more difficult programme to think about. We talk about building momentum. It's a more difficult programme, isn't it, in terms of that. And you're right, Coventry City have started to fight back a bit at home, at their borrowed home, St Andrews. And they beat Brentford, didn't they, a couple of games ago at home, and looked quite impressive there. So, can't take anything for granted.
It's not going to be easy. Okay, let's go to predictions time, etc. I'll say 2-1 to Middlesbrough tomorrow. I can see a turnaround, and I see Mick McCarthy leaving with a frown turned upside down, or not turned upside down, or whatever. I can see a 2-1 victory for Borough, which might again provide a springboard on the back of basically they obviously will have had the proverbial rocket after the Bristol City debacle.
Yes. 2-1 would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
I'd love to say 11-0, but I can't see 11-0 happening, no. Rob. I mean, I'll put it out there at the start, but I can't see Middlesbrough 11, Cardiff City 0. I just don't think that's going to happen.
Not even Southampton get beaten 11-0, Alex. And we're not playing Southampton.
Exactly.
But I would love to, if we could keep it tight and just even sneak a 1-0 win. Earlier in the season, if you remember, Neil Harris's Cardiff, they were talking about us being physical against them and pumping the ball into the box. And they had like about three players that were over 6'5". So I think it was completely the other way around. And there'll be no sort of pretense tomorrow. Morrison and Kiefer Moore will be getting on the end of long throws and free kicks and stuff. And they'll be making it very difficult for Dale Fry and Paddy McNair. So we really, really do need to keep it tight. And if we get a chance, we've got to pounce on it. And let's hope we can get the odd goal.
We obviously give a nod in the direction of Red Army Radio, redarmy.tv, of course. You can listen to, you might already be listening to us via that. You might be listening to us via southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. Rob, you're still doing this Kilimanjaro challenge, etc. How can people support you for that? Just remind us again.
If you go to any of my social media, or go to Fly Me to the Moon, you'll find stuff on there. But it's it's the stairway mountaineering is what we are, and we're doing our ascents each day for the MFC Foundation and all the good work that MFC Foundation goes. So if you look at lots of hashtags like Feberist and look for my Facebook and Twitter and Fly Me the Moon, and you can click on there and support us. Please do.
I'm pleased to say that Rob has gradually the extreme redness, which I thought, goodness, he's taking this product supporting thing, very extreme redness in the face, has actually now reduced markedly over the course of the thing, proving that his oxygenating system is actually still working effectively, and that's all good. The next paper edition of Fly Me to the Moon will presumably be the Stoke City one, which is Saturday the 13th of March. So our next official podcast will be the 12th of March, all being well. But how, Rob, can people actually engage with us in an interactive sense and actually purchase a copy of the actual paper edition of Fly Me to the Moon and indeed the back issues for the season so far?
Yeah, if you go to fmttmborough.com and have a look on there, there's articles and there's a fanzine shop, and you can buy any of the back issues from this season or the rest of the season on there. Well, I haven't done them yet, but you know what I mean. So if you go to fmttmborough.com, click on articles and fanzine shop, and you'll find all the details there.
You've been listening to Fly Me to the Moon, the official Borough podcast fanzine version, or indeed fanzine podcast, or one of those two, with, of course, Editor-in-Chief Rob Nichols. It has been awesome. I still like there'll be bluebirds over the town of Middlesbrough. No, it sort of works, but no, it doesn't actually. So,
want that.
No, exactly. Let's wrap up with those immortal final words. Rob, would you like to lead us in this? A 1, 2, 3.
Come on, Borough, and up the Borough.